Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I beat you to it, Andy. Sorry.
I never know whether you're going to throw it to me or not.
That pause that always gets Andy in trouble. That's he's always going to get beat on it.
Well, he paused, didn't he?
No, you pause.
Oh, okay. I
can almost... You have it down to a science. But anyway. Hopefully people are drinking it.
I wish we were at this point. But later, after the show, I'll catch all of our Keystone Kickoff Penn State football talk on our app, which is Keystone Sports, or find us now on Spotify and iTunes and SoundCloud and whole slew of other forums. I'm Jim Galante. I'm here with Andy Shea and Bob Flounders. Unfortunately, our buddy Ross Tucker under the weather this week. Hopefully, he'll get better soon. But Andy, Bob, how are you guys doing?
Great. Been a busy week. Had made a couple trips to State College in the heat. Actually, it wasn't that hot for the practice Greg Pickle and I recently saw. But I have to say, Jim, that when James Franklin says, like, this year that his team looks good, physically good, he's not blowing smoke. They are.
Right.
They just look so much different than some of his early teams. And you can see it on the field. You can see it when they come off the field. You can see it in their younger players that they're recruiting, and it is really this looks to me physically like a team that, even though they're young, if they everything goes their way, physically to me they look like a top 10 team.
When I went to Lift for Life in July, I was just, we talked about it, Jim, I was floored at just how they looked physically. You know, they didn't, no footballs, anything on, just shorts and t-shirts, and I'm like, man, there's a bunch of them that look a lot different, bigger, stronger, faster, and they just look different. Bob's right. They look like a top 10 college football
program. We had Dwight Galt's interview, I think it was from the Lift for Life weekend, and he gave numbers for certain players,
right,
and some of it were incredible, including Sean Clifford.
Right.
He's bigger, stronger, faster. But anyway, we're going to get into some of these things. We have a whole hour of Penn State talk. We're going to start with our news and notes in quarter number one. Quarter number two, we're continuing our position review. Fun one today. We're going to look at the defensive line in quarter two. Quarter three is the chance for Bob and Andy to answer your questions. And quarter four, we're going to go back to the positional review. Another interesting place, wide receivers.
Yes. Very interesting.
We're just going to talk a lot of players today, too.
Yes, a lot of them. But let's start with our news and notes. Bob, you were out State College this week. Got to see the team a bit practicing. Got to talk to the coaches. What are your takeaways?
James Franklin's not ready to name a starting quarterback. There was a joking question about that at the end. And that's he joked back that it might be the bowl game, and he might have been only half kidding. You know, in the 10 or 12 minutes, we got to talk to him and Jan Johnson, Nick Bowers, Terry Smith. But James had some interesting things. He didn't really volunteer anything, but he gets asked, and everyone wants to talk about their younger players. And he was asked about the running backs. And he said it was just interesting the way that he looks at that. He said, you know what? On the practice field, when Noah Cain's out there, like, you know, as long as he's doing his assignments, and as long as he's not messing up, making mental mistakes, they don't read a lot into what he's doing, because they know that he's at his best when the ball's actually snapped. And he said he's just a really efficient runner, and he gets more out of a carry than most running backs that he's been around. He might not be the most physically gifted running back. He definitely isn't, because Barkley and Sanders have been at Penn State.
Right.
But he said the guy always gets as much as he can out of every carry, and he said he doesn't look like much. And at the end of the day, if you give him the ball enough, he's going to have 100 yards. But Devin Ford, I thought, was even more interesting, because we're talking about Ross Tucker's – one of his biggest
man crushes
favorite
ever.
Players in when it comes to true freshmen since we've been doing this
recruit
podcast.
Wise.
I mean, I still – that was a remarkable – breakdown that he had about a month ago of why he liked Evan Ford, and I'm sure that he's right. But James said, you know what the thing is? The one thing we were looking to see is you can only watch him on tape so much. You got to actually see him in person to see how he's getting, how he got all those yards at Virginia. And he said he is fast, and that's the last. That was the last box he had to check for us. I didn't write about it, but he also talked about the recruitment of Ford. And he talked about the recruitment of Kane and how deep the room is with Journey and with Ricky Slade. He said the thing that he was trying to play all four. He said that's not really what worries me, because if you've earned it, you're going to play in the running back room. But he said ideally we'd like them a little bit more spread out in terms of age. They got three almost literally on top of each other.
Stacked on top of each
with
other.
Slade, Kane, and Ford. I mean, there's one's a second year sophomore, two true freshmen, and you know Journey's the old head in the room, and I think he's a redshirt sophomore. So he said that's the only thing, but that really stood out to me, especially what he said about Ford. And Andy, I'll just say one of the guys you like to talk about, Jaquan Brisker. Oh. James said he's a little bit wise beyond his years. I think maybe the Lackawanna experience helped him. He said he's mentally alert. He's definitely got the size. He said he likes all of his practice habits, his work habits, and he said he's picking it up very quickly. And I think that is an indicator that if he has a good camp, you're going to see a lot of them in different ways.
Well, I just like where Penn State has come at the safety position, you know, in terms of, you know, you look at the last 3 years. They've had some draftable guys. They've had to convert some guys. But, I mean, John Patrician left for a reason. There's no room at the inn. And Brisker just makes it even more crowded with, you know, Sutherland and Taylor and Lamont Wade has had a good spring/summer leading into camp. He's starting to make an impact. And then you bring Jaquan Brisker in, who sort of sounds like he's a, you know, like in the college game when James was talking about him, he talks about the little things and how he takes care of his business and work and he does the little things well and like a pro's pro. You know what I mean? Like the thing at Lackawanna helped him. He was always really talented when he played at Gateway High School. I saw him play a couple times. I'm like, man, is that kid good? If he ever figures out how to hone his craft, he figured out how to hone his craft. They've got four safeties that I think they can just say, you know what? In any combination, in any situation, these four guys can play and we're comfortable and confident putting them on the field. That's a win/win/win. There's no other way to look about it. That one of the positions that sort of has been a one-trick pony for them, like it was one guy or, you know, it was kind of like a mishmash of things. Now it's a very strong position, and Brisker only makes it even better. I'm dying to watch the safeties play football.
Well, we're going to talk about defensive line later, and I think the key to all that, Andy, is you want to look to be too deep on defense, mm-hmm. and they're getting closer to that. And my one response to the conversation about the running backs is if your biggest issue is, oh, we've got all this young talent, oh, woe is us.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Sure, it's a nice problem to have for sure.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white.
Drink blue and light. He pointed at me just to let you guys know it was a giveaway. We didn't do that one well.
All right. Anyway, let's get to a couple other news tidbits. One of my favorite players who's been in the transfer portal forever, Irv Charles, has found a home.
Yes. You knew it was coming, Bobby Flounders.
I did not know it was coming, but by all means, Jim, have at it.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
IUP, Indiana?
Yep, okay. He's a proud member
of the... He took a little time off there, too. There was a little bit more of a pregnant pause than I was thinking about. He took... He went the Manny Bowen route, yep. Although hopefully he'll play at Indiana.
I hope so. Just real quick, Irv Charles obviously had some great physical skills. What's he going to do in a conference like that?
Well, you just have to wonder because the last time he played, I think it was on 2017. I think.
Correct.
It's been that long. I just wonder what kind of shape he's in, honestly, because how bad does he want it? Like, what does he think is going to happen at IUP? I just don't know about these guys, man. When you take that much time off, I think the glass is half empty. It's not half full.
His skill set, though, and in the PSAC, I mean, I know you, because you're covering Penn State, dude, the PSAC is a slinger. All they do is sling the rock around. I mean, 800 to 1,000 yards passing a game combined is sort of like kind of almost normal in the PSAC. There are not any grinded out. They don't grind it out in the PSAC. They literally sling the ball over the lot. A guy who has talent and skills, but maybe a little rusty and not in shape, he's got to have an opportunity just because he's talented, and they throw it 50 times a game per team on average.
By the way, I do not know if IUP has begun practice yet, but I do believe he has been called for his first penalty.
Yeah.
You were also sitting on that one, Jimmy.
You were sitting on that one.
I was. That was quite a while.
There we go. That was planned.
Anyway, am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
All right. One other note, Penn State had a decommit. 2021 four-star Dante Thornton from Maryland decommitted.
Whatever.
When a guy from hasn't even played his junior year in high school yet, do you even concern yourself with those things?
I said last week, when you take a commitment this early from a class that far away, you almost wonder what is the advantage to doing that. I mean, unless it's an in-state kid. And even then, you're going to have to, like with Micah, they took him early and it was quite the roller coaster. I just don't know. I don't know how much sense that really makes this anymore.
Yes. In today's game, these kids decommit so often. I know, Andy, you and I were talking about this a little bit. Ricky Ronnie made some statements this week and you had some praise from that.
Yeah. I really enjoyed listening. There were some you know, standard cliche lines from Ricky Ronnie, but I also was reading between the lines because you look at it closely. And James talked about it too on Media Day about, you know, how he has confidence in Ricky and he, you know, it's a big jump to be in that chair. You want to move into it. But what I took away from reading between the lines and listening to Ricky sort of self-evaluate as the offensive coordinator was, one, he's not happy. Two, he will not admit, he will not let the responsibility shift off him and say that he was hamstrung a little bit by the running back position, which he is no longer hamstrung. Because in the offense and the way he wants to run it, I think having just one guy and one guy that can pretty much only run, not that Miles Sanders can't catch the ball, but out of necessity he couldn't. I think he felt hamstrung and he looked back at everything to figure out how to sort of move it along. I think you're going to like what you see from him in year two, but it's not a one-year wonder thing.
And he's still got a lot of young running backs.
Yeah.
That was the problem last year behind Miles. So they still got to coach them up and they got to trust them to be able to play.
That is it for quarter number one of the show. Stay tuned. Quarter number two, we're going to do a defensive line preview. Stick with us.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.